If my memory serves me correctly, I believe we stopped on page 46, the top of page 46. It says, "What may we conclude from what we have learned about human authorities and Christians?" We may conclude that civil governments are indeed, for the most part, made for the good of all citizens, and that to rebel against the good they do is to rebel against God who ordained them. But when the authorities told Peter and John not to teach or preach anymore in the name of Christ, they were denying the apostles the right to do what God had commanded them to do. It was then that they answered, "We ought to obey God rather than man." You know, folks, the same holds true today. We should always obey God other than man. Those who dare to take such a stand as Peter and John took will suffer consequences. They were called forth, beaten, and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus before they were released. Acts 5:40. This charge was a violation of God's command to preach the gospel. Now, what would these preachers do? Let us look at Acts 5, verses 41 through 42. This is what it says. "And they departed from the presence of the council." What were they doing? "That they were counted to suffer." That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Their reply would continue to be, whether sanctioned or forbidden by man's judgment, we ought to obey God rather than man. What fearless conviction and endurance, courage they manifested. The same conviction and courage continued, followed by the inhumane treatment as time rolled on. The enemies of Christ, of his word, and of his people used every conceivable means to bring an end to Christianity. They accused Christ's followers of being enemies of civil powers. They threw them into lions' dens. They burned them at the stake. They starved them. They marked their bodies with bruises and stripes, all while demanding that they renounce Christ and his religions. For example, Polycarp, who lived more than 100 years after Christianity began, when the proconsul urged him to renounce Christ and live, he replied, "86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who hath served me?" Consider Otto Ignatius, who long being thrown to the lions, said, "Let fire in the cross, let the companies of the wild beasts Let breaking of the bones and tearing of the limbs, let the grinding of the whole body and all the malice of the devil come upon me. Be it so. Okay. Okay. Let me finish reading. And I did look at who Polycrap was. It says that, let the grinding of the whole body and all the malice of the devil come upon me. Be it so, only may I win Christ Jesus. What I found out was Polycrap was a disciple of John the Apostle. John had him ordained as a bishop of Samaria. He is regarded as one of the three chief apostolic fathers. The other two was Clement and Ignatius of Antioch. On the list of the martyrs could go question, how far would we go with the strong statement we ought to obey God rather than man? The desire to please man has caused many to obey men rather than God. A few examples will suffice. King Saul, 1 Samuel 15. What was the command that God gave Saul? Absolutely. That's what I have. What did Saul do according to verse 9? I have here that he spared Agag, the best of the sheep and of the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. So in other words, he disobeyed God, something that he shouldn't have done. God had gave him instructions. He gave him a commandment, what he wanted him to do. And it's obvious that Saul ignored God's commandment. See, it says that according to Saul, how did the people cause him to disobey? Verse 21. Which should have been destroyed. Okay. D. Saul's sin called, resulting in him being rejected as king of Israel. Verse 23. Number two, we'll read about the prophet of God in 1 Kings 13. It reads, this man of God, as verse 1 calls him, came to Bethel and took King Jeroboam. A time would have come when the priests of the high places would be burned upon the altar. He told the king that a sign of his truth would be that the altar would be rent, means destroyed, and the ashes upon it would be poured out. The king, angered by this prophecy, put forth his hand from the altar and gave orders that the prophet be apprehended, at which time the king's hand dried up and the altar was rent, as the prophet had said. Then the king besought the prophet to entreat the Lord that his hand be restored. The man of God prayed, and the hand was restored. Then the king said to him, "Come with me and thyself. I will give thee a reward." Verse 7. What was the prophet's reply? According to verse 8, "I will not go in the house. I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place." As the man of God was returning by another way to Bethel, as God had commanded him, an old prophet overtook him with a new order. He said, "I am a prophet of God also, as thou art, and an angel of the Lord spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee in the 30 house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him." Verse 18. He went back with the lying prophet, did exactly what God had told him not to do. What because of man of God? According to verse 24, a lion slew him. Thank you, Denise. Like the man of God, many have obeyed the voice of some human being, knowing full well what the Lord had said to them in his word, not realizing that this trick is the same tactic used by the devil on Eve when he said, "Ye shall not surely die." Genesis 3:4. She just had finished quoting God's command not to eat of the tree when the devil utterly uttered his deceptive words. How much better it would have been if Eve had said, "I know what God said. I believe it, and that settles it." Life is less complicated when we say we ought to obey God rather than man. Number 3, we're going to read about Balaam. In Numbers 22, when Balak the king of the Moabites saw how Israel had defeated the Amorites, he became concerned about the welfare of his own people. And having learned that Balaam served such a powerful God, he sent messengers telling him of the fear Israel was causing him, saying, "Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people." Verse 6. God said to Balaam, "Thou shalt go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Balaam relayed God's answer to the messengers and sent them away. But Balak sent more princes, even more honorable than the first, with the same request, but with an additional appeal. "I will promote thee unto great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." Verse 17. Balaam made one of the greatest mistakes anyone could have made. If only he had stuck by it. What was it, according to verse 18? I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. But then he made a big mistake, saying to the prince, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Verse 19. Then God told him to go with me, with men, but that he would have to speak whatever God wanted him to speak. But God was angry that Balaam would consent to go after saying he could not. And he became Balaam's adversary. The Lord put Balaam through some frustrating tests. Verse 23 through 32. And at last he admitted his sins. There is much more to the story. Chapters 23 through 25. But once again, we're shown that we ought to obey God rather than man. Great spirit, great spiritual truth, great spiritual strength is required to utter the words of Peter and John as their faith was challenged and their rights was disregarded. But they did not let the threats and the abuse they received throw off their purpose to declare God's will to all, small and great. Yes, we ought to obey God rather than man. Well, I think the same holds true. Sometimes we know God tells us in His Word what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But do we always do what God tells us to do? No, we don't. Sometimes we place it up on ourselves to lean on our understanding sometimes and not God's. And I think sometimes that's where we fall short. And as you emphasize, how could he not know?
But David was, and he said, I'm a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Christ did. Odell did that.
Mm-hmm.
He again said that. He said, I am a prophet, just like you. That's what Christ did. Odell was tricky.
Mm-hmm.
He was real tricky. He was tricky, and he listened to this man. I didn't say that.
Sort of like Eve when the old devil deceived her. And,
mm-hmm.
The fruit? Right, right. And deceived them. Yes. And the same holds true today. We can be deceived as well. And even though we read the Bible like we should, and we know that the truth is the only thing that will make us free, but how many people in the world really believe that? And as Sister Ann said, the devil is, he's deceitful.
And
absolutely, you're absolutely right.
And
And you know, it shouldn't be that difficult to understand. Mark 16:16, that's what it says.
Right.
He that believes and is baptized. Yes. And what is it that washes away our sins? But as Sister Ann had, you know, and that's why sometimes, you know, I don't believe that we can ever study enough. And I think sometimes that's where this old boy falls short. I don't study as much as I should. So that when someone asks an answer of us, we're supposed to be able to give an answer. But if someone asks me something that I don't know, I'd rather tell them I don't know than to give them the wrong answer. So I think that's why it is important to study. So as you emphasize that, we know when we hear someone that's talking anything that's contrary to God's word. And the only way we're going to know that is to study, to show ourselves approved. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to Brother Jason, and I was talking when I had picked him up. It seems to me that back in the 21st century, when we think about all of the miracles and the miraculous things that God did, there were still those that didn't believe Him. I mean, even seeing it with their own eyes. To me, it seems like it would have been easier to believe in the Bible, in the Scripture, if you actually witnessed something and seen it with your own eyes. But they still didn't believe. Absolutely, yes. They still didn't believe. But don't you think it's easier to believe something if you see it with your own eyes? Yes.
Now, you know, we got the three dispensations of time here. The first time, Adam and Eve, God spoke directly to them. And they disobeyed that. And the second time here, He told Moses, and Moses would be here between God and man, and they refused to do that. So they said, no, Lord, no, but that was something, and they did something else. So today,
Inspiration. Okay, we're going to go to lesson 10. Okay, we ought always to pray and not faint. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, is a parable that Jesus spoke about a widow who asked a judge to avenge her of her adversary. But he would not at first. After a while, he changed his mind, saying, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then Jesus made the application. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear along with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? And I think we'll stop here. Page 50. And I want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity to do the very best that I could. And hopefully one day I'll just continue to press forward. Thank you very much.
Turn to number 885. Excuse me, 887. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave within your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. There is room for all who would His glory share. Lift their weight, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross.
Good evening. I'm humbled to have been asked to be up here this evening, and I certainly realize I'm no biblical scholar, but what I would like to do is use a few verses of Scripture, relate it to my life experiences, and hopefully give you cause to think about how you might apply those to your own life. So please bear with me. I've been studying the book of Proverbs, which is written by Solomon, who is widely regarded to be the wisest man to ever live. And he writes in there a lot about knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Again in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So, I thought about that, and I'm thinking, well, what do we use that for? Knowledge is really just information, and information without understanding is useless, and understanding without putting it to action is likewise is useless. So thinking about that, I come to the conclusion that if we have that understanding, the way that we put it to use is making good decisions. That made me think about that a little more. I did some online searches, and several sources say that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. And obviously a lot of those are very simple decisions, things we don't even really think about, like turning on your turn signal when you turned into the parking lot, putting your car in park before you shut it off. Others of them are real very important. We realize how important those are. We spend a lot of time thinking about them. Things like, how am I going to ask her to marry me? Should I take that new job? When is the right time to retire? Which checkout lane to get in at the grocery store? I'm talking today, I want to talk about some of the decisions that are in between those. Things we spend a couple minutes about thinking about, but don't necessarily think through very well. So one example of that, a couple years ago, Tammy and I were out on the back of our property trimming some brush, and I noticed that one of the large trees on the side had several limbs that hung out over the neighboring farmer's field, so low and so long that he actually had to plow out around those. There was that section of his field that he couldn't use, so I thought it would be a good idea to cut those. And so I made the decision that I should climb up in the tree to cut those limbs. It would be easier to reach out and cut them that way. Well, as Solomon writes in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth upon counsel is wise. And when he writes about hearkening upon counsel, he doesn't mean you need a whole group of people. He means just talk to somebody else. Let somebody else help you make a good decision. It one person could be that person that helps you make the decision. I know Tammy has several times when talking about this has said when she turned around and seen me up there, she thought that was just a foolish thing to do. So just asking her would have helped that day. As it says in Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. That one person would have been enough to make a good decision. But as bad decisions often do, they lead to other bad decisions. So that day, after deciding to climb up in the tree, I decided I didn't need a safety harness. I decided it would be easy just to step from limb to limb to reach out and cut those limbs. As many of you know from this story, that it didn't turn out well that day. I somehow lost my footing, slipped, hit my head, knocked myself unconscious, fell about 10 feet to the ground. Like I said, I was unconscious. I don't remember that. In fact, I only remember a few seconds here or there over the next 4 or 5 hours. But that decision had a big impact on other people. Tammy was there. She had to see that. She had to try to stop my head from bleeding, had to call 911, direct an ambulance. She had to basically take care of me for the next month and a half, took care of the property for all summer, things that I would have never asked her to do otherwise. So even though I don't remember a lot of that, to me, it's a story I get to tell here to tell my grandkids. For her, that decision I made is something that she relives every time I climb a ladder, every time I go hunting, and you know, she knows I'm going to be in a ladder stand. It affected my mom. For probably the first time in her life, she had to think that I might die before her. As it says in Proverbs 10:1, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So making decisions that you think really don't affect other people oftentimes have a longer lasting impact on those around you than even it does for you. So I know this is short, but I wanted to hopefully give you a reason to think about decisions that you've made. So if you're here tonight and you've heard the word, you believe the word to be true, you have made the decision that you need to repent, that you need to confess Jesus as the Son of God, if you made the decision that you need to be baptized, or if you are in the body, but you've made decisions that you know aren't good for yourself, that have affected others in a negative way, now's your chance to come forward as we stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thy eyes against the light. For fears are in thy heart. He says, oh, do not. Oh, why not do not. Oh, why not tonight? Will God be saved? Then why not tonight?
I just made a decision there. I went too high, so I got to come down a little bit.
Tomorrow, sun may never rise. To bless thy long deluded sight, this is the time, O man, be wise. Be saved, O tonight. O wise, not tonight. O wise, not tonight. Our God is dealing still, and will not thus His love require. Renounce what thy sovereign will. He saith, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Our blessed Lord refuses not. Who would to Him their souls renounce? Believe all faith the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not?
Good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody who could come out tonight. Certainly thankful to God for keeping us well enough to be out tonight. We want to thank our brother Wiley as he taught our class tonight. Excellent. We appreciate that. And also brother Roy. Very important message, and we'll keep those things in mind about decisions and how important they are. Very good. Thank you. Please remember all of our sick, those who are asking for prayer. And we're thankful that our brother James Gatewood had a successful